Hi, this is Chris Morgan, Senior Pastor of Cornerstone Fellowship Church. We're a non-denominational, full gospel church located in Matthews County, Virginia. Thank you for listening to today's message. We believe you'll be encouraged. For more information about us, visit gocfc.com. God bless and enjoy.
Expectantly, we thank you for the help that it will bring to us, revealing what it is, truth, unto every heart and every life, so that we can be buttered by walking in it and be recipients of every one of your blessings. So thank you today for your basic equipment, as the scripture says, eyes to see and ears to hear. And we thank you for the helper, the great and mighty Holy Spirit, who is our teacher and encourager, leading and guiding us into all truth and helping us to see your will for our lives individually and as a church, that we walk as the triumphant church that you called us to be. And it's in Jesus' mighty name that we thank you and praise you for it. And everyone that agreed with that said, amen. Praise the Lord. Well, thank you for being here today. God is good. We trust that you have a very wonderful Labor Day weekend, each and every person. We trust that it will be blessed and be safe. We trust that you'll have time together with family, friends, and so on and so forth. But today, we want to continue our Redemptive Truth series. Back in the beginning of this year, I mean, I don't know about you, but 2024 has really gone by. And here we are, the first week in September, but for this whole year, we have actually been on Sunday mornings, this series, and it will last. We've been doing this series, and it will last this whole year. However, because that we actually had a lot of things going on during the summer months, I look back at my notes, and the last time I actually taught a message on Sunday morning about redemptive truth was June the 9th. So it's almost been 3 months. But today we're going to pick back up on our Redemptive Truth series. Amen. And the reason why we continue to do this is because God instructed me to teach this until he releases me about this. So don't be surprised if we just continue. I know we will continue on for the rest of the year unless he shows up in a vision and tells me stop. That's when I'll stop. Praise the Lord. But there's so much about redemptive truth and God's great plan of redemption that will benefit us. There's so many layers and so many depths of this that will benefit our life by. This is why we continue. So today's message, many of you take notes, and I congratulate you for that, because that is how you get it in you. Amen, at least one way. Today's message, for those that are note takers and want to know, we're going to call it Truth Personified and Personalized. Truth Personified and Personalized. We want to begin by opening our Bibles to Proverbs chapter 29, verse 18. Anybody excited about God's Word today? Amen. Praise God. And we're going to read a portion of this, and it's going to be from the Amplified Translation. Most of you that have been a part of this series will recognize this is the foundational verse that we use in every message. And it says, where there is no vision. And then the Amplified Translation explains what vision is. No redemptive revelation of God, the people perish. Now notice, first and foremost, what I would like to do is, there is a great warning in this verse. It says, without our understanding the redemptive revelation of God, which, by the way, is what redemptive truth is about, and I'll explain that in just one moment, even further, or remind you about. If the Bible warns us that we will perish, or we will be destroyed in our lives, we will not only not be able to receive God's highest and his best, but the things that were destined and planned for our lives are all cut off. Because when we do not understand redemptive revelation of God, then that's what happens. This shows the very importance of, this is why we must understand and have a redemptive revelation of God. We're going to put up slide 19, And here we've got a number of slides that we have used throughout this series, but I believe they help us because a lot of times one of the complaints that you have about me is I talk fast. Maybe funny too sometimes, praise the Lord. But sometimes slides help because a lot of times people just, they're smart, they take up their phone and go, click, okay, I got that. Or I'll have to go back and re-listen to it and pause it and those kind of things. But putting this up helps. A redemptive revelation of God is, here's what it is, a revelation or a spiritual understanding of what God did in Christ through His death, burial, and resurrection that provided victory for all of mankind. Most of you in this church have heard the majority of these messages. And from the very get-go, one of the things that I said, that when we hear the word redeem, redemption, we are to think victory. Amen. And so when we hear for the rest of our lives, what I want you to think when you hear the word redeemed or redemption is what God did for us in Christ through the death, burial, resurrection that actually would provide victory for all of mankind, which obviously would include you and I. So our quest, if I say quest, our quest should be to learn more about the God who saved us and the marvelous plan that He has set in motion. That plan is known or called by many the great plan of redemption. And this Redemptive Truth series is all about learning that plan. What plan? The great plan of redemption. See, the Bible from Genesis to Revelation is really revealing not only who God is, but the plan or the great plan of redemption, or in other words, what God did to provide victory for us through what Christ's death, burial, and resurrection provided. Can I get an amen? So I'm going to say that again. This Redemptive Truth series is about us learning that plan and how it affects us and ultimately us seeing ourselves in it. Everybody say personalize it. Because until you and I personalize it, it's just a theory. We, in other words, as far as our life is concerned, it may be truth, but it goes from a truth that may be true. It really is true for everyone. But in order for us to go from theory, so to speak, that it's not lived out in us to living out in our life, then we have to personalize this plan. Amen. And so that means that we have to know how it affects us and we have to see ourselves in it. Slide 5, please. Redemptive truth is a redemptive revelation. See, revelation is a big word that just means you're able to see something you're not able to see before. It's an unveiling of truth, and in these cases, of spiritual truth. And redemptive truth is a redemptive revelation or a revelation of redemption, and God's plan is for you to see yourself in it. In other words, personalizing it. And this is why we continue to go over it, because it's one thing to know about it, it's another thing to apply it in our lives. And I find that many times we leak. We think because we know something that we're doing something. But there's a big gap. Maybe the biggest gap in the world is the gap between what we know and what we do with what we know. And it's our job, or it's my job as a pastor, to close that gap. And one way we do that is by repeatedly talking about this as God has instructed, because true faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Romans 10:17. It doesn't come by having heard. A lot of times people say, well, I've heard that before. Well, what are you doing about it? If the Word that we have and get excited about is the Word that works for us. Just think about it. The reason why many times the Word, we may know it, but it doesn't work for us is because we're not excited about it. Because if we truly received it and walking in it, then it would change us. And how many know it takes effort to walk in it? Because the world, as you know, that we live in, does everything diametrically opposed to it to keep us from it. But the good news is we can personalize it by not only knowing what it is, but seeing ourselves in it. Jesus Christ is not only at the center of God's plan, the great plan of redemption, or God's plan to save us and bless the world. Let me tell you something, honey. He is the plan. He's not only at the center of the plan, he is the plan. Amen. Slide 23, please. Redemptive truth is what God said he has done. He has said. Not what just what we have said, what he has said, he has done through Jesus Christ to provide victory for all mankind over Satan and his works. So this whole redemptive truth series is not my theory, or it's not my facts about what I think about God. It is actually revealing what God said about himself so we would know what he has said. Because that and that alone is truth. Can I get amen? So I say this again. Redemptive truth is what God has said he has done through Jesus Christ to provide victory for all mankind over Satan and his works. Slide 18, please. Redemptive truth reveals who God is and what he will do for us. Amen. You mean that God wants to do something for me? Yes. God wants to be involved in every aspect of your life. And that makes some people really afraid, because they know what they're doing and they know where they're at. They'll know where they're messed up at. Well, relax, honey. God already knows it, and he's already got a plan to fix it. And this is what this plan is about, that whatever's holding us back, or whatever's tripping us up, or whatever's messed us up, even if we are going our own way blindly and thinking we've hung the moon, I want you to know at some point you better hope in this life that the redemptive truth is revealed to you, so that you really see you ain't all that, but Jesus is. Hallelujah. And redemptive truth reveals who God is. Ooh, glory to God. We better know who God is and what he will do for us. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And this, who he is. You know, it's so important, because in the world that we live in, so many people got their own concept of God. You know, I have my own concept of God. But your concept of God is so important. You're going to hear a little bit more about that, because it will determine what you actually can receive from God. See, you can have your own version of God, but that doesn't mean it's right. See, I had my own version of God for the first 24 years of my life. You heard my testimony. I grew up in church and for 24 years of my life, and thought because I did good things and didn't get caught doing bad things. Thought because I shook the preacher's hand. Thought because I was water baptized as a child and prayed every night that made me right with God. But I had my own version of God. When I thought about who God was, all I could picture in my mind is a stained glass window in the church I went to. A picture of Jesus, a beautiful picture, and there's nothing the matter with that. But that picture of that window had no power. It was nothing but stained glass. And until we personalize it and actually understand who he is and who he will be and do for us, then we're not changed. But when we really find out who he is and what he will do for us and personalize that, that changes everything. And it begins with us knowing the truth. Everybody say, knowing the truth. So this truth that we're talking about in redemptive truth is personified. Everybody say personified. And what I mean by that is explained in this next slide. In slide 25, please, we find truth is a person, Jesus Christ, and what he has said. Woo! Glory to God. This is why we must understand that truth isn't something, but truth is personified, a person, Jesus Christ, and what he has said. It's not just someone, it is him, the creator of heaven and earth. Now, I want us to think about this. I'm going to give you three scriptures that illustrate this. There's many more. We could spend the rest of this morning talking about this fact. And we have talked about this before, but and I think it's worth repeating, because truth is redemptive truth, we need to, it's personified and then needs to be personalized. Amen. And you won't personalize it until it's been You won't personalize it until it's been personified first. Because what inspires us to personalize it or empowers us to personalize this is for us understanding the personalization of this truth, of who truth is. See, when we turn in our Bibles, we're going to read three passages of scriptures. You can follow along with me. And John chapter 18, we remember when Jesus was about, he was on trial standing before Pilate. Pilate, in verse 37, said unto him, "Then are you a king?" Jesus answered, "I say unto you, you speak correctly, for I am a king. Certainly I'm a king. This is why I was born. And for this I have come into the world, to bear witness to the truth." Everybody say to the truth. To bear witness to the truth, to tell the truth, to show what truth is, to introduce to the world truth. Jesus came for this purpose. Everyone who is of truth, listen, who is a friend of the truth, belongs to the truth. They hear and listen to my voice. That's what Jesus said. Put that back again, if you would. Notice he says, everyone who is of truth. You can tell whether a person is really of truth or not. Ooh, that would save you a lot of time of what you don't watch on the evening news. Or who you don't listen to. On the three-letter networks. Because everyone who is of truth, who is a friend of truth, who belongs to truth, hears and listens to my voice. And I can tell you, they're just as anti-God as they can be. Woo! Now we go to verse 38. I'll pick back up there in a little bit. Amen. You say, well, you meddling, Pastor Chris. Yeah, I'm going to meddle a little bit. Praise the Lord. Pilate said unto him, here, what is truth? On saying this, he went out to the Jews again and told them, I find no fault in him. So notice, he asked the question, what is truth? Now notice, Pilate unknowingly was standing before the truth and asked the truth, what is truth? And I submit to you that there's a whole world, including you and I, before we knew the truth, that did the same thing. That we could stand before the truth and ask what is the truth, not knowing we are actually talking to the truth. Case in point, how long did it take you before you sat in a church service like this and heard the truth, God's word, because Jesus is the word made flesh and dwelt among us? How many of you heard the truth and didn't recognize it was the truth before receiving it as the truth? Don't raise your hand. We know all of us were no different than Pilate. But the point is that we can change when the revelation. This is why redemptive truth is so important. Because when you see it, then it changes everything. Come on, it changes everything. So Pilate asked that question, and amazingly, Jesus had already answered it in John 17:17 by this. He says, he prayed this high priestly prayer in the garden before he was tried and crucified. It says, sanctify them. He's praying to the Father. He says, sanctify them, purify them, consecrate, separate them for yourself, God. Make them holy by the truth. Your word, one translation says, oh God, is truth. God's word is truth. Remember, just write it down. Remember John 1:1, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. Verse 14, and the word became flesh, became a human being, and dwelt among us. That's who Jesus Christ is. He's not only the second person of the Godhead, he is truth personified. Hallelujah. And Ephesians chapter 4, verse 21 says it like this. Assuming that you have really heard him and been taught by him, talking about Jesus, as all truth is in Jesus, embodied and personified in him. Everybody say personified. So truth is a person, Jesus Christ, and what he said. This is why we must understand that truth isn't something, but truth is personified, a person, Jesus Christ, and what he has said. Slide 11, please, says this: redemptive truth is God's revelation to man. That means it's God showing man himself and what he has said he has done. And possibly the best, this is best understood through the seven redemptive names of God. Now, when I stand here today, don't fake it to try to make it, because I'm going to show you what they are. When I stand here today and say the seven redemptive names of God, or best redemptive truth is possibly best understood through these seven redemptive names of God. When I say that, you have heard those seven redemptive names and what they mean, because you either have heard me teach this or you know what those names are. Raise your hand. Just be honest. Just raise your hand. That's just a small portion, even though many people... See, this is why I go over. I'm not afraid to go over. I don't go over stuff because I don't have nothing else to say. I know that we don't get it. I know I don't get it unless I know how I learn. And I know how to follow the Holy Ghost. And I know what, as a pastor, God gives a pastor what the sheep need. And I'm not afraid of repetition. I'm not afraid of saying things again. About the time that you think everybody gets tired of hearing it is when they just start getting it. And so when I say those seven redemptive names, that possibly reveals redemptive truth. What God is, his revelation to man of himself, what he has said he's done for us, is possibly best understood through those seven redemptive names. We're going to talk about that. Many of you remember what they are, but I saw how few hands there was. Maybe you thought it was a trick question. If you've been in these messages, you've seen them, but you're going to see them again today because they so help us. Amen. And so listen to what I'm getting ready to say. Names, everybody say names. Names are important, and names in the Bible are particularly important because they reveal aspects of a person's nature and character. Now, when I say that names reveal the aspect of a person's nature and character, we could just take time and go through. I'm going to use two in here today in just one moment. Amen. So, first of all, last I'm going to use God's. His name, seven redemptive names that reveal his nature and character. When I say it reveals his nature and character, I mean reveals who that person really is and what they do. So how many know that it'd be really important for us to know who God really is and what he wants to do for us? The good news is God didn't leave us with question. He revealed that to us by what is known as his seven redemptive names. These are not names that we came up with. These are names he came up with as a self-revelation to his people, so that they would not only know who he is, but what he wanted to do for them. So just hang on for just one moment, because when we get to that again, it's earth breaking, it's devil shattering, it's sin breaking. Come on. It is so helpful, because it totally changes our life. That no matter where we have been trapped at by our past, or what we have done or haven't done, God shows us his great love for us, reveals who he is and what he has provided for us, so that by knowing the truth, you and I can be accepted and be set free. So remember, when I say that names are important, and names in the Bible are specifically particularly important, because names reveal aspects of a person's nature and character, revealing who they are and what they do. And remember this and never forget it. Our concept of God is so important, because it will actually determine what we can or cannot receive from God. Because it is impossible for you to believe you can get something from God you do not know he offers. Because faith begins where the will of God is known. And it is impossible for you to receive something from God that's good when you in your mind are convinced that God is against you. This is why repeatedly God has to say, if God be for you, who can be against you? Over and over again, the New Testament, as well as the Old, tells us what God thinks about His people. God says in Psalms chapter 40, I know the thoughts that I think towards you. Well, this is Jeremiah 29:11, thoughts of peace and not of evil, that you may have a hope and a future or an expected end. But He says in Psalms 40, He says His thoughts are towards us are like the grains of sand of the sea. Think about that. It's quite a few. You can't count just a handful of them. But He said His thoughts towards you are like the grains of the sand of the sea. But they all are good. They all are good. See, we have been convinced by people that have been inspired by the devil that God is against us. Our minds have been so tricked and deceived, because that's how the devil works. He's after a piece of real estate between your two ears. It's called your mind. And that's where the real battle is won or lost at, and that's where the battle is. And so He infiltrates our life through our minds, through suggestions, through what we see and hear. And when we do not know the truth, we fall for the lie. And many people, this church should not have one seat empty in it today, for the fact that it does just lets me know that there's so many people that have been lied to about God. They're not interested in God. They're interested in what they can do in their life, and they want their life to get better, but their own self-help management at some point is going to stop somewhere way short. And the sooner we find that out, the sooner, the better off we are. This is why we must go and invest in anybody. This is why we must share the gospel with people, because when they really hear that God is a good God, and they see that because God had done something for you and in you, and you begin to tell them that God wants to do the same thing for them, then they got something to come to learn about and to hear. And when they hear the truth about God, they will be just like me, turned on. Because for the first 24 years of my life, even though I went to church, I went the first 18 years because I was made to. The second 6 years is because I had a condition called gal-ligion. I was chasing after Pastor Debbie. Praise the Lord. Amen. And actually, it was those 4 years, because a lot of times in particular when I graduated high school, a lot of times I was missing, because I was missing in action because I was doing my own thing. But when you got gal-ligion on your mind, you know, you'll go to church to make it look good. And by the way, in your own heart, you know it's the right thing to do, but you can do it for the wrong. You can know the right thing to do, but you don't know the right reason to do it. You do it to salve your conscience, and all those things fall short. I didn't do it to know God better or to get saved, because I didn't know I could know God better. Believe it or not, I didn't know I could know God better, and I didn't know how to get saved. I just assumed, here we go, I just assumed, I say I have my own gospel, I just assumed because I did good things and didn't get caught doing bad things. Because I shook the preacher's hand, was water baptized as a child, thought because I prayed every night and asked God to forgive me, that I was right with God. How many of that's my own version of God, and that's my own version of the gospel, and it stinks. It gets us nowhere. The truth is, until we have God's version of the gospel, we have our own. And our own don't work. But thank God, on March the 30th, 1986, I heard a message, and I realized that I had come to God my way, and Jesus said, it's only one way we can come to God, and that was through Him. And I had come my way, by my works, by my good things. Oh, by the way, I'm a good person. Oh, yeah, I know I did all those things, but you don't know about that. You don't think God does? And yet He still loved us. He still sent His Son to die for us. Matter of fact, Romans 5:6, you can just write it down. It says, one translation said, God sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to die for those who could care less about a loving God. So when we could care less about a loving God, He died for us instead. Because He believed that we were worth the death that He paid, the price He paid, and that was the death of Himself, His Son. That's how much He loved us. That's how much He valued us. And He saw how He wanted. And that, when we really understand that, that's why it says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever will believe on Him will not perish, but have everlasting life.
Knowing who God really is and what He's done for us should cause us to love Him. Because it reveals His love towards us. And you know what? We all want to be loved. We're all looking for love. But in life, we're looking for love in all the wrong places. We're expecting, and if you're expecting your spouse to give you the love that only God was designed to give you, that's why there's the divorce court will just be amplified and ramped up. Because your unexpected demands upon your spouse goes without them being able to fulfill what your expectations are. Because let me tell you something. No, they're to love you, but nobody can love you like Jesus. And you're looking for love that only God can give. And when you get that, then you can actually love your spouse, love others, and it answers the whole problem. And you're not looking everywhere else. So I'm preaching better than you're saying amen this morning. So remember, our concept of God is important because it will determine what we can receive from God. So in other words, if all you've ever heard about God, He's your problem, you know, or you haven't heard anything, or the few things you've heard won't right. Can you imagine that? That's produced a weak concept of God. Why is there so many people in Satanism? Because they've heard lies about God. And they think God is weak because Satan was sitting on the shoulder and said, I'll give you real power. All you have to do is sell your soul to me and I'll give you real power. Well, it may be power, but it's damning power and it's not greater than the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, then why is it that more power showed up? Because there's not enough Christians yielding to God and spending the time believing God to execute His agenda in this earth today. But when we know really who He is and what He's done for us, it'll change that. Because it'll cause us to be so thankful and see what He's done for us. Now everybody say names again. Names are important because names in the Bible are particularly important because they reveal aspects of a person's character. And we're going to look at, I know you think I'm being redundant, and I am. Look at your neighbor and say, wake up, praise the Lord. So, listen, we're going to talk about the most important names in one moment. I told you I'm going to talk about names. Names are important in the Bible. We're going to talk about the names of God. But we're going to do something else before we do that. This is why, listen, knowing the truth. And who is truth? Truth is a person. Jesus Christ and what He has said. This is why knowing the truth allows us to receive from God and sets us free. Allows us to receive from God because we when we really study even the names of God, we see everything that God said about Himself was to give us something. To give us not only Him, but to give us what only He could bring in our life. Whoo, glory to God. And let me tell you something, honey, God can do more in 30 seconds than you can do in a lifetime. So we better find out about it and find about it now and begin to start believing God about it. Can I get an amen? And not only this allows us to receive from God, but also this is why truth sets us free. That's what Jesus said in John 8:32. He said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And there has never been a time that knowing the truth is more vital for our lives. This is where we're at today. Because today truth is not only hated in our world and under attack, but also those who align themselves with it, which should be you and I in this room today. I don't think you heard it. I don't think you heard what I said, so I'm going to say it again. And I'm going to give you some things that are eye-opener to you to know that the world programming you to swallow everything hook, line, and sinker. You know, if that fish that you like, how many men like fishing? If that fish knew that artificial bait was artificial, it wouldn't hit it. It wouldn't eat it. But because it looks like the real, how many know it eats it? And then you eat the fish. I can just tell you that the world that we're living in, hallelujah, the devil has got a lot of artificial bait out there. And there's even Christians that are eating that bait, and then he can eat your lunch, bless God. And I'm doing something in this Redemptive Truth series to stop that. To keep that from happening, because it's only knowing the truth that sets us free. So today, truth is not only hated. That's right, Jesus is hated in the world. You don't have to look long. I'm not trying to be political. I'm just trying to be biblical. Who's standing up in the world today for Jesus Christ, for God, and the things of God? Just ask you. Who's not afraid to say the name of Jesus? Who's not afraid to pray in Jesus' name? I'm not talking about being perfect. I'm talking about actually doing what the Bible says. Instead of pulling up an abortion wagon and having 25 people murdered right there in the front of God and the whole world. In the name of convenience. I know that's going to shake some people up and make them upset, but what is truth? And if you fall for that, then I can just tell you what I'm getting ready to talk about, that's why I'm talking about it. Because it's my prayer for anybody that's in this church that they will not be deceived. Because the greatest thing that Jesus warned us about in the last day was deception. 7 times in Matthew 24 alone, in the Amplified Translation, 7 times at least, he warned in Matthew 24 about deception. He started with it, he ended it with it. That would be the number one thing. And you know what the number one weapon against deception is? Truth. It's truth. This is why redemptive truth is so important. So I'm going to say it again. Today, truth is not only hated and under attack, but that there ain't no mistake about it, Jesus Christ is. His will. And you say, well, I don't hear them cursing God. What kind of activity are they promoting? Jesus said you'll know them by their fruit. Abortion, homosexuality, all the list goes on. I'm not against any of those people. I'm against the action because the action is anti-God and will kill those people. I don't want them to go to hell. But I'm not going to pussyfoot around it and say it's all right in the name of inclusion, in the name of equity, the name of diversity. No, in the name of sustainability. Well, I'm just adding to it. But today, truth is not only hated but under attack, but also all those who align themselves with it, which should be you and I. So make no mistake about it. If you're going to stand for truth in the day that you live in, you're going to have people that's going to come against you. Woo, glory to God. 1 Timothy chapter 4, please, verse 1 and 2. Here it says, now the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, speaks expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith. Get some shall depart. You have to be in the faith to depart from it. So there's going to be people that is going to be so tricked by seducing spirits and doctrines, or giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Or in other words, teachings of devils. They come to whisper. And let me just tell you something. The next verse here tells us where most of the whisperings come, through men. Speaking lies and hypocrisy. Many translations says, men speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. We know it's talking about men and women, people, because devils, it's not talking about devils there. Verse 1 is talking about, but where the devil's operating from? Through people. You'll know them by what they say and by what they do, by their fruit. And in this day of deception, this is a day of deception that we live in. Truth is our greatest weapon. So before we look at and rejoice, and we're going to leave rejoicing today, before we leave rejoicing at the redemptive, 7 redemptive names of God, I want us to look at another name in the Bible, because names have significance, have meaning, and what it means, and how it reveals what that person really is, and why what is happening is happening in the world today. And that name is, just hold on to your seat, the Antichrist. Now, before I talk about him, I want to pre-qualify this. I personally believe that the scriptures teach, and I've taught this many, that the church will be raptured. And in order for the Antichrist, I believe he's probably live and well in the earth today, but the church won't see who he really is. Because the church, by the power of the Holy Spirit, according to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, is the restraining force that is holding him back from being revealed. The moment the church is raptured, caught up to heaven, then the Antichrist can be revealed. He's probably alive and well in the earth today based upon the signs that we see of the time. They're not signs. Jesus didn't give these signs to scare us, but to prepare us. So that we wouldn't be deceived. But let's think about his name, the name Antioch. You say, well, Pastor Chris, you know, why are we even talking about that if we're not going to be there? Well, number one, you know, Adam in the Bible, the Antichrist is pretty important. Even though we're not going to be, listen, so because there's something we need to know about him, so we are not only deceived, not deceived, but we help other people not be deceived. Can I get an amen? You know, Adam is mentioned like 50 times in the Bible, well over 100 times on the Antichrist. Antichrist, anti means against or in place of. He's not only, listen, the Antichrist is not only against Christ, the anointed one, the Messiah. He's also, it also means in place of. In other words, it's going to come a time, he says, I'm it. I'm not only against Christ, but I am the Christ. He's both. He's not only against our Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, the only true Messiah. The only true and living God. He's not only against Christ and everything that Christ and God stands for, but he's also, there's going to be a time halfway through the tribulation, halfway through, that's 3.5 years, halfway through, he's going to declare himself and reveal who he really is. Everybody, the whole world's going to see him from the very get-go. But the first 3.5 years, he'll be a man of peace and cause war. He would be such chaos in this world that people will turn to him because he will offer solutions that are satanically inspired. And people will be so duped and so reckless, have such reckless abandon because of all the propaganda, all the lies, all the forced compliance, all the things. You don't think that can happen? Think about 4 years ago. And the world is being primed now for it. And so, and 3.5 years into it, he's going to go from the man that has all the answers to the man, I got the answers, but I'm God. And you must worship me. And you must take my mark to show allegiance. Or you cannot live, buy, sell, and so on and so forth. So it means against or in place of. The spirit, listen, the spirit of opposition embodied in a man that will seek both to exclude and replace the true Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the truth. That's what he's all about. His name reveals that. See, why is he called that? Because his name reveals, the scripture reveals what his real nature and character is. He's called, listen to things that he's called. You say, just hang on. This is going to help you help somebody else. It's going to help you, but it's going to help you help somebody else. He's called in the scripture the man of sin, among out many things. I'll just give you a short list. The man of sin, the son of perdition, the wicked one, the prince that shall come, the little horn, the king of Babylon, and the beast. All these point to the same character, the Antichrist, and reveal his nature and character. Now, the truth reveals this about him. And I want you to see how close we are to him being must be revealed. I'm going to reveal what the truth reveals about him. The truth, you already know about him because of his name, this name alone. But there's a whole group of people in here today that heard a name that went in one way or the other before. They didn't know what that meant. Knew it wasn't good, but why should I be concerned about it? After all, I'm a Christian, I'm going to heaven. Because we want to help other people get there. And truth, we should know. So truth reveals this about him. The word reveals this about him. The Antichrist will gain power through political intrigue. Let me tell you something. This ain't just because there's an election season, but I can just tell you, if you ever, any way you cut it, from here to the time that he's revealed, the church is caught up, he's revealed, there's going to be more political intrigue than anything, any time in history. He will gain power through politics. Matter of fact, he not only will be a political, but military, religious, and the economy will all be affected by it. He will help solidify a one-world government and a one-world currency. Just in case you didn't know, but you should not be in agreement with a digital ID, passport, or currency. He will work with an ecumenical religious system. Oh, there's so much I could say here. He will make socialism the root of his governmental structure. You ever heard anything like this? Your government is here for you. Trust it. Let me tell you something. The groups that we see now is socialism at its root. They want government is the answer. Government handout. Government, 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 government of the God. Fooey on it. I know this is going to be hard to get on YouTube. Praise the Lord. God bless y'all. Everybody put your hands together for Stephen. He does a job, That's why I'm on Rumble and the other places, because they take you down, right? And that should be another thing. The censorship, there's no freedom of speech unless you're their agenda. He will have a... Man, I wish I had more time. He will have a contagious desire for sin and lawlessness. He will create a culture of harassment, intimidation, persecution, and censorship that will weary and wear out all who oppose any of his policies and plans. And according to Daniel chapter 7, verse 25, you can just write that down. He will oppose everything that is of God, and he will change laws and times. Whew. If you can't see that that spirit is working. That spirit is working. We're being primed. This world is being primed for it. And I'm making you aware of it so you ain't falling for it. He will have a particular hatred for the Jews. And he will say, he will persecute and annihilate all who do not submit themselves to him as Almighty God. Now, this is a short list of what the scripture reveals his name means and what he will do. So beware. Whenever you smell something fishy that people are talking about in the news and about the world and making it sound good and, oh, this is really for our good and, we're going to... If it smells like fish, it's fish. It's fishy. Don't be fooled. The only way we're not going to be fooled is by knowing the truth. And John 10:10 says, here it is, the thief, Satan, he's your adversary, he's your opponent, comes to steal, kill, and destroy. All those things came to steal, kill, and destroy. But I've come that you may have life and life more abundantly. Pretty easy to see. Now, contrast what I just said. I hope that didn't hurt you. It didn't hurt you. It helped you. I know that ruffles some people's feathers. Maybe not yours, but it will. Truth always does. Can you think about the times that before you knew the truth, there was times you sat there, I said, I wish that preacher would shut up. Oh, I don't want him. He's talking about sin. He's talking about all the things I'm doing, all the things I love. But let me tell you something. The preacher ain't saying that because he hates you. The preacher loves you enough to tell you the truth because he don't want to see you go to hell, because he knows, number one, your sin will separate you from God. Number two, it will kill you. That's spiritual law. Spiritual law from the very beginning. The wages of sin is death. Now contrast that to truth, what we just talked about, and the seven redemptive names of God. Remember the importance of names. They reveal the person's nature and character, in this case God. They're revealing who they are and what they will do. And God revealed himself by these seven redemptive names, which reveal not only who God is, but who he wants us to be, or who he wants to be to us, and what he wants to do in our lives. So slide 10, please. Slide 10. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So I'm going to, I didn't help myself with this. So if y'all want to help me as well, I only got five through Actually, I do have them. Praise the Lord. I just stand out in order. Okay, that's fine. Praise God. So, number one, these redemptive names, the redemptive truth reveals seven redemptive names, provisions, and blessings, which restore man back to all that was lost in the fall in Genesis chapter 3. Here's what God said. He says, man needs a relationship and fellowship, and I want it with him. So God revealed himself as Jehovah Shammah. That means God is always there. Remember, Jesus said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. He's always there. He's always there. Our faith activates. It's us knowing he's there and thus receiving what he gives. So God, by revealing himself as Jehovah Shammah, see, what we find is in the fall of man, all the world has seven basic needs. Number one, we need a restored relationship and fellowship with God. God gives us that and reveals himself as Jehovah Shammah. Number two, we needed righteousness and right standing with God. And God reveals himself as Jehovah Tsidkenu. The God is our righteousness. Not only are we righteous, we have a righteous God. God has made us the righteousness of God in Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. Number three, we need peace, wholeness, nothing missing, nothing broken in our lives. It affects every area of our lives. We need that. It was broken in the fall. Here's what God does. He revealed, he calls himself Jehovah Shalom. Why? Because he says, I will be your peace. I will put the pieces back together and give you my peace, saith God. Everything that is broken, that needs his touch and his wholeness, comes to you through himself. And through the redemptive revelation of who he is, and revealing who he is tells us who he wants to be for us, to us, and what he will give. What is he going to? Who is he going to be? Our peace. What is he going to give us? Peace and wholeness. Whoo, should be exciting. Hallelujah. We look at our mess up. I looked at my messed up life and I said, this is for me. I looked up at my life that was lacking, wanting, and messed up. And I said, oh my God. I bow before you, I receive your son, and I want all of that. Number four, he said, you need provision, you need prosperity. Prosperity is not a bad word. Matter of fact, 3 John 2 says, beloved, I wish above all things, that you may prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. So God reveals himself as Jehovah Jireh. God is our provider, our source. Therefore, providing our needs, physical needs, as well as our spiritual needs being met. But he's our prosperity, our provision. He meets every need. Number five, we need guidance and direction. So many people are result. Matter of fact, let me change it. Every one of us are the result of decisions that we made yesterday and the day before. We are who we are, and where we're at was where we're at. We don't like where we're at. Change the decisions and the choices you're making. But let me tell you something. You are not designed to figure it out on your own. You're not that smart. You are never to be able to do it without God. And God says, I know that. I just have to let them know that. So he revealed himself as Jehovah Raha, the Lord, our shepherd. He's our God. G-U-I-D-E. Not only G-O-D, but G-U-I-D-E. He's our God, the one who leads us, guides us, directs our lives. He gives us guidance and direction so that we can be successful. So not only do we come to him, he's actually the door to the blessing. He's the door to the way of life that we're to live, and you must come through him. He says, I'm it, and this is what I have for you. I can tell you, anybody remember this will date you? Anybody remember, let's make a deal, you know, the three boxes, you know, and they show you this thing and say, you can get this or you could trade it. You know, they take box one and there's a refrigerator. They say, oh, man, there's a refrigerator and you can trade it in for two or three if you want to, or just take the refrigerator and go home. Well, most people, they're greedy, man. They wanted the money or something bigger, like the car or something. But you know what the devil knows that. Devil says, oh, I'm going to give them the refrigerator and let them know that, you know, I'm going to take care of them. So it makes us think that government and things. Now listen, there's times that things that we can receive that will help us. But I'm not talking about replacing God with government. And that's what socialism does. And it says we're all good in and of ourselves, but we must make this equitable and we must make everyone equal. The problem with that is that don't work. It never has in any society in this world. And it never will work because it's not the plan of God. And when they say we must make it for everybody, the problem with that is it's that for everybody except the elites. And us serfums have nothing. And we'll be happy about it according to the World Economic Forum. But that's not the God I serve, because they are a godless society and don't know God and never will know. They're anti-God. And the moment you start listening to them, you are already fooled, because you're devoid of truth. And this is what I'm warning you about. Because God said, so where was I at? Oh, that box. You're going to pick. The devil knows you're going to pick box two. And you know what box behind box two? Something smaller than what you already got. Because I can just tell you, only God, and he don't do, let's make a deal. Only God, he shows you the gate, the door, and the way is Jesus Christ. And the moment you receive him, it opens to all his blessings, and all of them are revealed right here so we can know what God gives us. He knew we would be broken in body, so he reveals himself as Jehovah Rapha. God, our physician, our healer. Our healer, healing and health provided for us, the means to be made whole. And last but not least, he knew that you and I would have certain defeat in life, because he knew without his guidance, we'd always pick that other box. We always try to make a deal with the devil. And there's plenty of people that's made deals with the devil. Plenty of them. And they look real good. And they look like they got everything going on. But their soul is lost. And I say none of that in a negative. I say none of this in a way with which degrades anyone. But to warn you that there is no deal with the devil that ever works out. And God knew that many of us would be broken. We're on the path of defeat. But he revealed himself as Jehovah Nisi. God our victory. God our victory. Because redemptive truth reveals the victory. When I say redemption or redeem, what are you supposed to think? Victory. The victory that God won for us through the Lord Jesus Christ, the truth. Personified and personalized. All of this was done. Come on, Brother Ryan, help me. All of this was done because of God's love for you and I. And this is for all of our taking. God wants us to personalize it. See, what that means for every believer in here, you should know those names because it reveals who God is. But it not only reveals who God is, it reveals who he wants to be to you and what he wants to do. And you should understand all those things are done. It is that faith that possesses them. They already belong to us. Remember when listen, we ain't no different than the children of Israel in the wilderness. Come on. From the perspective of this, God said, I give you the promised land. It belongs to you. Go in and possess it. He's giving it to you. You say, well, they said, well, there was giants in there. He said, go in and possess it. It all belongs to you. You just got to go in and possess it. I'm standing here today to tell you all of this belongs to you. This is your promised land. All of this belongs to you, but you and I. Well, why don't I have it, Pastor Chris? Because you and I got to go in and possess it. And how do we possess it? We possess it by faith. That's how we possess it. This is why you got to personalize it. This is why you got to wake up in the morning and say, God, you are Jehovah Jireh, my provider. God, you're Jehovah Rapha, my healer. Come on. And you go down. God, you're El Shaddai, Almighty God. I didn't even talk. Almighty God, you. And name everything He is. Talk to the Father about who He is. Name Jesus as all of this to us. And it belongs to me. And God, you're helping me to walk in it. And Holy Spirit, you are my helper, comforter, intercessor, advocate, standby, strengthener, counselor, my teacher, my encourager. You're my helper. You're the truth that's leading me and guiding me and showing me which way I'm to go. And because it, thanks be unto God, you always cause me to triumph. That's how you do it. You personalize it. You put your faith to it. You don't sit there and say, well, I wonder why it ain't working with me. Pastor said, personalize it. You ain't no different. We are no different than the children of Israel from the perspective of there. When God said that promised land belongs, it's a land flowing with milk and honey. He knew there was giants in there. But you know what happened? As soon as the children of Israel saw the giants, they said, Oh, we can't do this. Oh, we look like grasshoppers in their sight. How many of them feel like grasshoppers? When you start learning this and you say the problem you got and the things that, you say, I feel like a grasshopper in this. Don't talk it. Shut your mouth. Cast down those imaginations and then begin to personalize. Magnify Jesus, Almighty God. Magnify the truth and begin to declare the truth over you. Use your mouth for something to speak blessing and increase over your life. If you don't, nobody can. Now, I can to a certain degree. As we pray for one another, we can. But ultimately, what happens is that it's what we're saying is what we'll have. We'll say, well, you don't know what they said about me, Pastor Chris. No, I don't know what they said, but I know what God said. And what God says trumps what they said. Woo! I believe you got it today. I believe you got it. Personified truth, Jesus Christ, and personalized. Where it comes home, thy word, oh God, is truth. And I begin to use it the way God intended so I could walk in this victory. Now, my last question. Listen to what I'm saying, everybody. Knowing these seven redemptive names, this is not pie in the sky. This is what God revealed, and we can walk in this. Knowing this, why wouldn't you want to make Him Lord? Why wouldn't you want to surrender to Him? He only has good promise for you. And it's not based upon what you've done. It's based upon what He's done. And you just turning from your way and receiving His way. Bow your hearts and heads with me in closing. Father, we thank You that we can make Your Son Jesus Christ.
Thank you for listening to this message. We trust that it helped you. You can visit our website at gocfc.com to listen to other life-giving messages, read the pastor's blog, or to find out how you can be a part of an upcoming service. We hope to hear from you or see you soon. God bless and have a wonderful day. The door.